Brachos daf nun beis. So does Beis Shammai really hold that first is the bracha on the day, like we had said by Kiddush, you make the bracha on the special day for Shabbos, and then the bracha for the wine, right? Is that really what Beis Shammai holds? However, we bring in another brisa that says, what's the order of Havdalah? First the wine, then the fire, then Besamim, and then the bracha for Havdalah. And if you only have one cup, then you use that for benching, and then you would say Havdalah. But here, what's the problem? That we say that first is the bracha on the wine, and then the Havdalah. And Havdalah is basically the bracha for the day. And we see here that this brisa is saying that you have to do the wine, then the day, which is the opposite of Beis Shammai's opinion. So we say maybe this brisa is Beis Hillel, because it doesn't say if it's Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, so maybe it's going like Beis Hillel. However, the problem is the brisa says that it's the order is wine, fire, besamim, and havdalah, and that has to be Beis Shammai. Why? Because we bring a brisa that Rabbi Yehuda says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that when you only have one cup, benching comes first and havdalah is last. Where do they argue? Beis Shammai says first is fire, then besamim, and Beis Hillel says first is besamim and then fire. So from the fact that Beis Shammai holds first fire and then besamim, and our brisa from before said fire then besamim, it has to be that brisa is going late Beis Shammai, and still we have the problem that it says wine before Havdalah. However, maybe we could say that brisa is going like Beis Hillel, not according to Rabbi Yehuda, but it's going like Beis Hillel according to Rabbi Meir. Because in our Mishnah, which is the view of Rabbi Meir, even according to Beis Hillel, first it would be fire and then besamim. So maybe the brisa is really Beis Hillel's opinion, and it's just going like Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Yehuda, right? Because again, Beis Hillel says, fire them besamim. But what's the problem? That our Mishnah says, Beis Shammai says, what's the order? If you have one cup, and you have to use it for both benching and Havdalah, the order is fire, the bracha on the benching, then besamim, and then Havdalah. And Beis Hillel says, fire, besamim, then benching, then Havdalah. So according to Rabbi Meir, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree that benching is not the first bracha. However, our brisa says that if you have one cup, you do benching first. So that has to be going like Rabbi Yehuda. So our brisa, which mandates benching first, has to be going like Rabbi Yehuda. And if we're looking at Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, then the brisa, which says fire then besamim, has to be Beis Shammai. So at the end of the day, we're still left with our question of how can Beis Shammai say that first is the wine and then the Havdalah, meaning the wine before the day. So we answer that according to Beis Shammai, bringing in the day, it's better to do the bracha on the day first. And when you're taking out the day, meaning with Havdalah, it's better to do the bracha last. Why do we want to do the bracha last when we're doing Havdalah? Because when we make the bracha of Havdalah, that's the end of Shabbos. And if we say the bracha on the day first and we end Shabbos earlier, it's going to look like we're just trying to rush through to end Shabbos. So does Beis Shammai really require a cup for benching? So Mishnah says that if you only have one cup and they brought the cup out during the meal, right? So you have one cup and they brought the cup out during the meal. What does Beis Shammai say? He says you make the bracha and then you bench. And doesn't this mean that you make the bracha on the wine and then you drink it and then you bench without a cup? No, the answer is that you make the bracha on the wine, but you leave it over until after benching and then you drink it. So Beis Shammai would agree that you would be using a cup of wine for benching. But how can you say that? How can you say you're not going to drink it? We know you have to drink it immediately. No, because you're only drinking a little bit and then you're going to use the rest for benching. But once we know that there's a principle that once you drink it, you can't use it for a mitzvah. So we answer that you spill a little bit onto your hand and then you drink from your hand, not directly from the cup. But if you spill it out, then you're going to have less than the minimum amount that you need to make the bracha. No, because we answer that it has more than the minimum amount needed to make the bracha. But the Mishnah says that you only have one cup. Doesn't that mean that you have the exact right amount? No, the Mishnah means that you don't have enough for two cups, but you do have a little bit more than one cup. However, Rabbi Chiya challenges this from a brisa, because Beis Shammai straight up says that you drink the wine, then you bench without a cup. So how does that make sense? So we answer that it's two different Tanaim who are presenting Beis Shammai's opinion. There's one says that Beis Shammai doesn't hold you need a cup to drink, you need a cup of wine for benching, and one holds you do. So we had another argument over what do you do first, washing or kiddush. So we go to the brisa. Beis Shammai says first you wash and then you make kiddush. Why? Because if you do kiddush first, then your hands are going to be tamei because you didn't wash them. Right? And then what's going to happen? You're going to have the liquid that's outside the cup, maybe some liquid spilled over the cup, and that liquid is going to become tamei from your tamei hands, and that liquid is then going to make the cup tamei. So we ask, why don't the hands just make the cup directly tamei? Why do they have to make the liquid outside the cup tamei and then make the cup tamei? Because, so there's a principle you need to know about tumah, very, very basic. basically, we have, for example, a corpse. That's an avavos tuma, an avi avos tuma, the highest level of tuma. And then let's say somebody touches that corpse, that person becomes an avatuma. Now, if that avatuma touches someone or something, that thing becomes a rishon, a lower level tuma, and that rishon, if it touches someone or something, can become a sheni, again, an even lower type of tuma, and sometimes in certain cases, there can be things that can become a shlishi. But again, the lower, the higher up the number, the lower the status. So we answer that unwashed hands are only a sheni, which is a much lower form of tuma. And since they're only a sheni, and they're only made a sheni by a dirabanan, right? It's not that you actually touch something, just the rabbanan instituted that all hands become tame as a sheni. And since they're a sheni, they can't actually make regular food and things tame. So just by touching the cup, that doesn't actually make the cup tame. However, a sheni can make the liquid outside the cup into a rishon, and that rishon of the liquid can then make the cup tame. So Beis Hillel's opinion is that first you make kiddush and then you wash. Why? Because if you wash first, then any liquid that's left on your hands after will become tame from the cup. The cup is going to be tame, and that's going to make the liquid that's on your hands tame, and that's going to make your hands tame. So what is the point? You just wasted your time washing your hands. So again, why doesn't the cup just make your hands tame directly? Because the utensil is a sheni, is not able to make a person tame. It can only make a person tame through liquid, so the cup has to go to the liquid, which then goes to the hand. So why can't the cup make the wine inside tame, right? If the cup is tame, why is the wine not tame? Because if only the outside of the cup is tame from the contact with the liquid, the inside stays tahor. The inside is pure. Like the Mishnah says, if you have a cup whose outside is tame from the liquid, the outside is tame, but the inside, the rim, and the handle all stay tahor. So that's why we don't have a problem with a tame cup. So what's the machlokas? Beis Shammai says that you can't use a cup which has a tame outside, because we're worried that the liquid is going to get out on the outside, and that's going to make your hands tame. So therefore, what's the best to do? You should wash and then make kiddush so that your hands don't touch the liquid outside the cup and make them tame. However, the water that you washed with is not going to become tame from the cup, because the cup is tahor. The cup is pure, so we're not worried that it's going to make your hands tame. We are worried that if you don't wash your hands, it will make the cup tame. So Beis Hillel says, no, you are allowed to use a cup that has a tame outside, because we're not worried that liquid is going to get on the cup and that's going to make your hands tame. What are we worried about? We want you to say kiddush and then wash your hands, so that your hands aren't going to make the cup tame if any water is left on your hands, and that's going to transfer to from the cup, that's going to transfer to your hands. And Beis Hillel holds that you first say kiddush and then you wash, because you're supposed to start the meal right away, right after washing. And therefore, the halacha is that you should start right away. That is better than the concern that the liquid on the cup might make your hands tame and things like that. So even according to Beis Shammai, we would rather you start the meal right after washing. So basically do kiddush and then wash, even though there's a concern of tuma. So what's the procedure? What do you do with the napkin? So we have a brisa. Beis Shammai says that you wipe your hands after washing it with a napkin. You put that napkin on the table. Why? Because if you put it on your chair, then the liquid on the napkin will become tame from the chair. And then that napkin will now become tame, and that's going to make your hands tame. So why can't the chair just make the napkin tame directly? Why? Because a utensil can't make another utensil tame. So the chair has to go to the liquid, which goes to the napkin. Beis Hillel holds, no, you should put the napkin on the chair, because if you put it on the table, then the table is going to make the liquid on the napkin tame, and then that's going to make the food on the table tame. And again, the table can't make the food tame directly. It has to go through the liquid of the napkin, because the table is a sheni, and a sheni, which is a lower level tuma, can't make food tame unless through liquid, meaning the liquid on the napkin will have to touch the table, which will then have to touch the food. So what's the machlokas? Beis Shammai holds that you can't use a table which is a sheni, because you might put truma on it, and truma has to stay tahor, and it can become tame from a sheni. So you're not ever allowed to use a table that's a sheni, because we don't want you to put truma on it and make it tame. And therefore, since there's no concern for the table being tame, it's better to put the napkin on the table. However, Beis Hillel says that you are allowed to use a table which is a sheni, because we're not concerned that people who are eating their truma are not going to be careful. So according to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says that you don't have to wash for chulin, meaning any food that's not truma, on a Torah level. So Beis Hillel says that the reason that I'm more concerned about putting the napkin on the table than the chair, even though I agree with you that it can become tamei from the chair and make your hands tamei, midoraisa, your hands don't need to be tahor, right? Midoraisa, it's not a problem to put it on the chair. But it is a problem, midoraisa, for the food on the table to become tamei. So it's better, even though I agree with you, Beis Shammai, that the chair is going to make the napkin tamei, there is a possibility that is not a Torah-level tumah, so it's better to put it on the chair than on the table where you might have an issue of it making the food tamei. So another machlokes was cleaning up the meal, or should you wash after first? So the Braisa says, Beis Shammai says, you clean up the food and then you wash mayim achronim so that you don't get the water all over the food and then you're going to destroy the food. Beis Hillel says that if the waiter is a Talmid Chacham, then he'll know that he should take away the pieces of food that are larger than a kezias, because that holds, this is supporting like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you're allowed to destroy food directly that's less than a kezias. So therefore, you get rid of all the food that's bigger than a kezias, and it's fine if you want to destroy the food that's greater, that's less than a kezias. So what's the machlokas? Beis Hillel says that you can't use a waiter who's Ama Aretz, who doesn't know the halachos, because he's not going to get rid of the larger crumbs. Beis Shammai says that you are allowed to use a waiter who's Ama Aretz. And Rav Huna actually said, and that's why, Beis Shammai, since you are allowed to use this waiter who's not going to know to get rid of the larger crumbs, he says you can only wash afterwards. Rav Huna says that the lacha is always like Beis Hillel. However, in this case, we hold like Beis Shammai that you can use a waiter who's not a Talmud Chacham, but Rav Oshia actually switched the opinions, and therefore we still find that we're holding like Beis Hillel, because he switched it and says Beis Hillel is the one who says, first you clean up the food and then you wash. So what's the order of Avdallah? So Rava said the bracha on the besamim and then the fire. So Rav Huna Bar Yehuda questioned this. So both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that first is the fire and then the besamim. So why did you say the bracha on the besamim and the fire? Both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai do agree that the besamim would still, said that the fire would still be before the besamim, even though they have it in different places, right? Beis Shammai says that it goes fire, benching, besamim, avdallah. Beis Hillel says fire, besamim, benching, and avdallah. But at the end of the day, they both still put the fire before the besamim. So Rava answered that that Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, but Rabbi Yehuda says that Beis Shammai says fire, then besamim. Beis Hillel says besamim, and then fire. Rav Yochanan says the lacha is like Beis Hillel in according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore I followed Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel and first did besamim and then fire. Beis Shammai says Shebara Me'or Ha'esh, and Beis Hillel says Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. So Rava says they both agree that Bara is past tense, but Beis Shammai says Borei is future tense, and Beis Hillel says Borei is past tense. And we know that brachos always have to be in the past tense, so that's why Beis Shammai doesn't allow Borei. But Rav Yosef says, but we have so many psukim that have Borei meaning past tense, like Yotzer Or Vorei Choshek is in the past tense. So rather, they both agree that Borei is past tense, but why do they differ in the language? Because Beis Shammai holds that fire is one illumination, so that's why you only say me'or, which is singular. And Beis Hillel says fire is many illuminations, so that's why you say me'orei in the meaning plural. And that's why we have a brisa that Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, there are many illuminations in fire. So the Mishnah said you can't use the besamim of a non-Jew. So we understand why you can't use the fire, because if you use the fire of a non-Jew, then it didn't rest on Shabbos. But what's wrong with the besamim? Rav says because it was used at a party for Avodah Zarah. And that's the problem with using non-Jews' fire. Non-Jews' besamim. But we question that at the end of the Bryce, at the end of the Mishnah, it says that we can't use the besamim of Avodah Zarah. So if you already teach me that you can't use the besamim of Avodah Zarah, why are we also saying you can't use the besamim of non-Jews if it's all the same? So Rav Chanina Misura answers that the Mishnah is giving the reason why we don't use the besamim of non-Jews. It's saying we don't use the besamim of non-Jews. Why? And then the end of the Mishnah is explaining because it's used for Avodah Zarah. We have a braisa that says you can only use fire that rested on Shabbos. So what does this mean? Fire that's not used at all over Shabbos is considered resting. However, we know that a braisa says that if there was a flame that was lit for childbirth or for someone that was sick, you can use it to make avdallah. So clearly, even this fire was used over Shabbos, and you can still use it for avdallah. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak answers, no, you can't use fire that was used for malacha that was usher. If somebody just lit a fire just for fun, you can't use that in your avdallah. And a braisa supports this by saying that if you lit a lantern before Shabbos, you can use its fire for avdallah after Shabbos shkayach.